I'd like to say good morning to everybody. I've gotten to say that almost every Sunday morning for a long time, and it never means more than today. We welcome our Watermill family to our meeting today. I know you well enough to know that as many of you as can be are with us. We also welcome all our friends or family and other places as well. Thank you for spending a few moments with us today. I want to thank everybody for the encouragement, the understanding that we have received from many directions during the past few days. We, like everyone else, had to make a change in some plans just about 9 days ago, starting then. I've received notes this week from our members, our people, ranging from William Morrison, thank you, William, for the picture, all the way to Gail and Bill White, and thank you guys for your encouragement and all others in between. We hope to be that kind of encouragement to each other during this time. I would like to assure everybody that I have made it a point to avoid letting Carrie hug me today. So don't worry about us in that way. Today in our services, we thank our brothers who are helping us. Carrie will lead us in our songs. We invite you to join in as much as you can with us at home with your family. Adam Barton will lead us in our prayer. Mike Ussery will help us to think about the Lord at the Lord's table. And Scott will share some announcements and then our closing prayer today. And we'll look into the Lord's Word together in these few moments. As we turn our thoughts now to our serving the Lord together today, I'd like to read you portions from Isaiah 43. This is the Lord speaking to His covenant people. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, fear not, for I am with you. In the passage about the whole armor of God, where we find encouragement that allows us to know we'll be able to stand in what we have to deal with in our lives, there is this great statement, Ephesians 6 and verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So let's think about all circumstances faith for a few minutes today. All circumstances. The shield of faith mentioned here in Ephesians 6 is pretty obviously not merely a defense against wrong ideas and bad behavior. It's also equipment for the wrestling that we have to do, wrestling with things that are not familiar with us, to us, and things that are not always even visible to us. Paul has mentioned in Ephesians 6 here just a few verses before, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That sounds pretty foreboding, doesn't it? I assume from reading it that his readers were familiar with what those phrases might have meant to people who lived at Ephesus at the time. To us, those phrases might mean what we're facing now. And we would take this to say to us that the shield of faith is not something that will protect us from the same illnesses or viruses or whatever that everybody else is subject to. But the shield of faith can protect us from the flaming arrows that might come from the suggestions of the evil one during this time, things that would range all the way from doubt and selfishness to unkindness and evil in our lives. What we're all trying to do right now, all of us as members of this congregation and everyone else, is to use the shield of faith for good in the present circumstance. What I want to say to us today is that our faith will be up to it if we can apply it consistently in our lives during this time. I'd like to share with you a few reasons why we say that today as we think together. Number one, our faith is what leads us to understand ourselves as the Lord's people and to understand that we need these landmarks of service to the Lord that we're going to engage in this morning in our lives and in our families' lives. We're all present with each other in the way we can be under the circumstances. We're offering a spiritual sacrifice of praise. We're seeking our Father's face in prayer. We're remembering the body and the blood given for us. We're opening our hearts to the Lord's Word. And we're engaging in the fellowship of giving in the best way we can. And we may have to continue this way for a while. In fact, it looks like we will. And we can, with a whole lot of help from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, please remember that no one has canceled or made any ordinance against worship. We're scattered, not by persecution, but because of the circumstances that we're having to help our society deal with. We're having to not meet as a physical group, which we would like to be doing, and which we will do again as soon as we can, and which we will do with an all-new appreciation for the privilege that we'll have when that time comes. But right now, we still can draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, as Hebrews 10 and verse 22 puts it, and we can continually offer up a sacrifice to praise to God, as Hebrews 13 and verse 15 has it. So let's take up the shield of faith and do that throughout this circumstance. And let's encourage each other in between in every way we can. Secondly, may we use this example. Faith causes us to think beyond our comfort zones and to respect the weightier matters that have to be taken into consideration sometimes. More than once, if you'll remember from the Gospels, Jesus had to deal with people who had faith enough to comply with ordinary requirements, but not faith enough to extend mercy to people in extenuating circumstances. Must have been frustrating to him. It pretty clearly was. But it should say to us that it's a danger that we always have. Faith enough to keep our obligations to the Lord when things are usual, but not faith enough to apply our obligation to Him to be like Him in unusual circumstances. Go and learn what this means, Jesus said. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That's Matthew 9, 13 and 12, 7. When it got to be the crisis in the Lord's earthly ministry, that last week, which culminated in His crucifixion, followed quickly by His resurrection, there are things that are said in his interaction with people that emphasize the need for these weightier matters. When he was asked about the first commandment in the law, he said that it was to love God, still is, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Parallels add strength to that, but in Matthew 22 and 39, that's the way it is. 39 says, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Loving our neighbors means calmly and with as much confidence as the Lord can give us, helping to interrupt the chain of transmission of something which would overwhelm maybe medical settings otherwise. And brotherly love, neighborly love, is what we want to try to show during this period of time. In Matthew 23 and verse 23, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and scribes who were accustomed to being very careful about tithing mint and anise and cumin, but who left undone, who neglected the weightier matters of the law, which were, according to Jesus, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. While we are remembering these landmarks of service to the Lord like we're observing this morning, let that feed in our lives the determination to show justice, mercy, and faithfulness in every other setting as we go along. Third, faith makes us aware of our continuing connection to one another as brothers and sisters in the family of God. This will be precious through this time. Our connection to each other can be quite an antidote to the sense of isolation and selfishness and fear that might otherwise invade hearts at a time like this. And that connection to each other is what we intend to maintain and nourish in every way we can. You'll be receiving information from our elders right along. All of our families will get calls during the time ahead. We'll try to encourage you each day as much as we can, and we'll make plans about how to provide activities or to encourage our youth group and our children. Those are things that we still are needing to do. None of us have been in a situation just like this. Not that there never has been, but most of us have not been through anything like this. So we'll need to be intentional about this and find ways to keep faith in and faith with each other. Each of us can do that on our own. We'll try to do it as a group too. We'll pray for wisdom and try to be involved with each other in whatever ways are possible. What counts is faith working through love. And our calling is that through love we serve one another. Galatians 5, verse 6 and verse 13. Fourth, faith assures us that God can and will continue to work in and through His church to accomplish His gracious purposes. That's something that we believe never ends. In Ephesians chapter 3, the same letter where we're reading about faith, and at verse 10, it's been noted that it's through the church that the manifold wisdom of God is made known. Now, in that setting, he might have been speaking specifically about fellowship between people who could not, or oneness between people who would not otherwise have had any connection. In verses 20 and 21, the same chapter, it says, "Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We want to remember that God's work doesn't end here. A key part of this chapter, not to be overlooked, is that in verse 16, Paul said that he prayed that according to the riches of the Lord's glory, he will grant to his people to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in his inner being. Even when we are not together physically, we're still people who belong to the Lord. And he still is involved in our lives. And he still wants to work through us to bring good news and kind help and real encouragement into the lives of people. We're in a not normal circumstance, but we're not in a timeout, shut down, give up mode. It's faith, hope, and love time for us. It's think of other ways to fulfill our mission time. It's when people are needing something to have faith in, something worth having faith in. And we're in a position, a unique position, to be of use in the Lord's service and helping people in that way. Watch for every opportunity to say something good to other folks. Watch for every opportunity to put in a good word for the Lord, as someone said. Watch for every opportunity to share with someone how your faith helps you in this situation. Talk to your children about it. Let them know how important it is to have something that is not affected by a time like this, other than being made more precious. And that leads us to this fifth observation. Faith allows us to hope in the God who raises from the dead. Death doesn't have the last word in any Christian's thought process. In 1 Peter chapter 1, after Peter mentions the fact that we've been ransomed or redeemed by the blood of a lamb without blemish or spot, and that this is according to the something that God planned before time and that's been manifested now in the gospel, he says that this has happened so that we, through him, are believers in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. That's pretty important anytime, but it's pretty obviously important right now. Your faith, my faith, is in the God who raises the dead. This may be a time when we can see most clearly just what a precious thing it is to be guarded by faith in the God who, according to his own great mercy, has brought us forth to a living hope, to a hope in something which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. As a Christian, that's your inheritance. That's something to think about and to thank God for all through this period of time. We're going to keep on together, and we're going to ask the Lord to help us be a blessing to other people. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." What he means by that is not that it's our faith that makes it powerful, or that there's so much of our faith. It's just that the object of our faith is enough for all circumstances. We believe in someone who has overcome the world. Our lives are united with Him. That's what it means to be in Christ. Our faith is for all circumstances. Let's use it that way through this unusual season in life. Pray with me, please. Father, thank You so much for having given us one in whom to believe. Thank You for faith that overcomes the world. Please let it guard us and help us to be a blessing to other people in our world at this time and in all circumstances. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.